This morning, I'd like to do a walkthrough of the Bible with an emphasis of Luke. Probably in about 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to do kind of a deep dive overview of Luke itself. It would just be one sermon that kind of just highlights everything there. I am seriously considering doing a brief topical study on baptism as a group. Most of you have never been in our baptismal class, because you were baptized before then or some other time and all of that. So it won't be all that we cover, but it'll be a great amount that we cover there. But I just think now and then it's good to cover that. It also ties in rather well. We're going to cover baptism and then sprinkle Resurrection Sunday in between it, right? So probably 4 weeks of baptism, I think. 5 weeks counting Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And then we're going to start it. We'll just keep going. We're going to keep going through Acts. It'll be a little different, but it just segues real well. Pastor Jim and I talked quite a bit. I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday, but on the way home from the state conference. And he kind of heartlessly asked me what I was going to preach on next. I thought that was rather unfair since next isn't till next week. Right? Why should I have to know? And there's so much to choose from, but he kind of helped me sort through some things and recommended that I keep going to Acts, and that's kind of what I wanted to do, but I didn't want to do it, I don't want to get so tied down on something, but I think it just segues very well. Luke writes Acts as well, and Acts is a completely different book because Jesus is absent, but the Holy Spirit is present. And it's just an amazing book. It'll probably go quite a bit faster. It's 28 chapters, not 24, but it's significantly shorter than the book of Luke. And there's a lot of narrative in it as well. So there are some study passages. Acts is amazing when it comes to presenting the gospel. Acts 10, Peter talks to Cornelius. Acts 13, Paul talks to the Jewish believers. And then Acts 17, Paul talks to people that are unfamiliar with the scriptures at all. He shares the gospel without once referencing the name of Jesus or the word of God in a direct way. It's just amazing, but there's a lot there. We're going to talk about Acts just a little bit today as part of our walkthrough, so we'll be there too. But so what I'd like you to do is just pay attention. I'm not sure exactly. I think I'm going to do it all myself rather than have help, because I want you to be able to see everything. And if you're up here helping me, you can't. So it's not because I don't like help, but many of you have been through this. I modify this all the time. But I've been working on this 12-point Bible overview since the 1990s. So it's still working, but I added at least one more point tonight, or for today, so. And I'm modified a little bit, but you'll get two sheets. One's a half sheet front and back that's just vertical. The other is a chart that's horizontal. And both are there. I think it's possible for all of us to know this by heart very easily. The reason I developed this was because I am not very smart. I can't remember things, a lot of things. And it just doesn't work, you know, like disconnected things or whatever. I just find it a hard time to do so. I went through, what have you had in class, Susanna, for like New Testament? Have you had any New Testament classes, like New Testament survey? And Old Testament law, history, and poetry, is that still the name? And then Old Testament prophets. Those are freshman classes. At least when I was, I'm not sure how they all mix it up now, but Old Testament law, history, and poetry was like you had to read through every book of the law, the first 5 books of the Bible, history, all the way through Chronicles, if you will, and poetry, which includes 150 chapters of Psalms. It also includes Job, which is not short in its own right, 42 chapters. Ecclesiastes, and you have Proverbs as well, all in a chapter, all in a semester while you're studying a few other classes, oftentimes 5 or 6 other classes. So, and it just was so overwhelming to me. And I was an older student that I think had some good self-discipline, but I just couldn't piece it all together. I couldn't, in my mind, figure out how it all fit together. And then another class was Old Testament prophets, and that was even more mystifying to me because we had to read them all and then somehow figure out where they all fit in. And even though I'm sure I learned a lot in these classes, it had nothing to do with the instructor. It was the instructee that was the problem. At the same time, I was also taking a New Testament survey class that we had an instructor that wasn't there very long. So he wasn't a very good instructor. Two-thirds of the way through the class, he was still in the middle of Matthew. That's not a survey class at that point in the New Testament. But even then, with 27 books of the New Testament, it's hard to keep track of everything, and I just couldn't do it. Later on, it was after I came to Northridge, some of us went over. It wasn't Aurora, it was a True Bible Baptist hosted a walk through the Bible. Have you ever been part of Walk Through the Bible program at all? Any of you ever heard of Walk Through the Bible? Okay. It used to be the thing, you know, and they walked through the Old Testament, and I thought this would be great because it'll help me piece it together, and it was 70-some points to remember in linear fashion. Now, they had memory aids and all that, and I'm like, there is no way that's going to stay in my head. You know, maybe it's just my head, but I just cannot remember like that. I need organization and structure to remember that, right, to figure that all out. But 70-some points just for the Old Testament, and I think there's an equal number for the New Testament that I never went to. But, you know, that was a different, I never had an opportunity to go. But I'm like, there's no way. And I don't think other people will remember it either. It's hard to review. It's hard to do that. So I sat down and started figuring this out so that I could remember. So this is a tool to help us remember key things throughout Scripture. And I can remember 12 things. I have 15 children. So I can remember even 15. Right, I get a little fuzzy with the 19 grandkids, but 15 kids I got down, right? But 12 things, and then under the 12 things, I can remember because there's a structure and a hierarchy rather than just a linear path. And I keep modifying it. I've used it in 15-minute presentations of the Bible. I've used it in 12-week Bible studies in the home before. And everything in between. Well, today I'm going to try and cover the entire Bible for you. It took us 3 years and 4 months to cover the book of Luke. And you're like, why didn't you just do that? Right? But it's a different coverage, as you'll see today. Let's pray, and then we're going to talk about the life and work of Jesus, but with the focus as it fits in the entire Bible this morning. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. And we know that we are the barrier to understanding it. We have finite minds, but we also have sinful minds that do not remember well. And we're easily distracted and, Lord, oftentimes confused with details. I pray, Lord, that through this tool, you might equip us to be able to understand the framework of the entire history of the Bible in a way that we can get a hold of it and remember it and understand that when we read anything, we kind of know where it fits into Scripture and gives us a chronology to fit in, but also an understanding of your plan through the ages. We pray that you would just help me as I present this morning to be able to do that. Briefly and quickly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, how many books in the Old Testament in the English Bible? 39. I'm sorry, that should not have taken nearly that long to answer. How many books in the whole Bible? How many in the New Testament? 27, okay. All right. Even the little details of the Bible come to you as you spend more time in it. Like how many chapters are in the book of Job? That's because you read Job enough that you don't have to remember it, right? It just comes to you. Anyway, I've broken up the Old Testament and the New Testament into 12 points. And it's very easy to remember. Most of you have been through this, so it's, you know, right? You understand. The Old Testament is 8 points. Okay, so I'm just going to use half the stage for 8 points. And I do this for some visual reminder as well. The New Testament is 4 points. Okay? And we're giving you the setting of where Jesus comes in the chronology of the Bible too, right? This will also make sense a little bit as we're studying the timeline of truth, because we're all the way into the fifth point of the Old Testament, okay? So let me give you the 8 points, and some of you know these already, and that's fine. I try to teach this at least every 2 years here, if not every year, in one format or another. It just so happened that I'm like, you know, it would work good here to get the setting of Luke again. But the main points of the Old Testament are these, okay? 4 events, then 4 people, then I just use the acronym Moses. You'll see why in a minute. Most of you know it already and can teach this probably by heart. And then Joshua, Judges, and there's only 3 left. And we're in the book of Judges right now. Kings, captivity, and return. You're welcome to write these down, but I'll hand out 2 charts with everything on it. Okay, so I'm saving you space and all that. So you'll get 2 different charts with all of this down. Okay, so let's say these really quick. Okay, 4 events, 4 people, Moses, Joshua, Judges, Kings, captivity, and then return. Okay, let's do it again. 8 points, Old Testament. We just covered all of the Old Testament. All right, how you feeling? Sam, that was pretty good, right? Old Testament, that was pretty easy. Right? So, right? 4 events, I'll make it even easier to remember in a little bit. 4 events, 4 people, Moses, I'll put Joshua, what do we do for Joshua, Judges, Kings, captivity, and then return. All right, one more time, the 8 here. 4 events, 4 people, Moses, Joshua, Judges, Kings, captivity, return. 8 points, you've just summarized the entire Old Testament in 8 points. I can remember 8 points. How many here can remember 8 points? How about 70-some points? I, and some people are brilliant and they can do that, but this you can review while you're standing in line somewhere. You really can. All right, now the New Testament. That took long enough, all right? 4 points. So if you can remember 8, 4 is nothing, right? So you have Savior, church, end times, that's 2 words, sorry for the complication, and eternity. All right? So Savior, church, end times, eternity. Help me out now, loudly. Savior, church, end times, eternity. Again, Savior, church, end times, eternity. So let's go for the dozen, shall we? Daniel got one of those exercise watches. I'm trying to get more steps in him, but he's usually at like 17,000. I'm like 700. So, right? 8 points, right? And then we'll do the 4, okay? 4 events, 4 people, Moses, Joshua, Judges, Kings, captivity, return. Savior, church, end times, eternity. That's the whole Bible in 12 points. Let's do that again. Then I won't have to exercise for a week, okay? 4 events, 4 people, Moses, Joshua, Judges, Kings, captivity, return. Savior, church, end times, eternity. I can't walk that fast. Okay, so let's do these with subpoints now, because it's just as easy. In fact, it's easier with the subpoints. You'll say that too. It's like, why didn't you do that first? Because I would remember it easier. Oh, picky, right? 12, it's nice to get the 12 in your head, but it's easier once you do the subpoints to get the 12 in your head, okay? For what? Events. We're talking about Genesis here, and we have this. Watch closely, okay? We're making a world. Creation, fall, flood, that's the fun one, flood, and then Babel. What happened at Babel? Everyone dispersed. So it's like this. Four events, right? There's four, so let's count them. Creation, fall, flood, and Babel. That takes us up to, by the way, Genesis 11. That covers roughly how many years? 2,000 years of history. Roughly half of the Old Testament. And a third of all of history is right there in the first 4 points, okay? Four events. Help me out. Creation, fall, flood, Babel. Then what? Four people. This is easy too, right? And you know these. It's just like, oh, this is easy. It just goes together. And that's what it is. It's just putting structure to what you know. Right? So four people, and I just do like this. I know it's probably lame, but I have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Is that hard? Four people again. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Where are they found? In Genesis 12 through 50. So guess what? Four events and four people is the book of what? Genesis. A sixth of this entire timeline is the book of, which makes Genesis rather important. In fact, it is foundational. We've rejected Genesis, and so that's why the church wrestles with everything else. Okay, so let's do the first two, right? Four events, creation, fall, flood, Babel. Four people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, right? Because it's great-grandpa, grandpa, father, son, right? There's four generations of the patriarchs of Genesis. By the way, the most space is spent in Genesis on whom? Joseph, which seems odd, but probably the most foundational concepts are with Abraham. The promises that God gives to Abraham, okay? So I'm going to do it one more time. Four events, creation, fall, flood, Babel, four people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Isn't that hard? You've got a sixth of the Bible in an overview fashion memorized. And it's easier with the points than without them. Yes? Would you agree? Because I'm like, okay, the 12 points, it's hard for me to do them, but I can do them with the subpoints. Now, the next one's pretty easy. These are all kind of tweak to help you remember, but it's like this. I do this, the four events, four people, and then I do Moses, because it's an acronym, a vertical acronym, M-O-S, and you got to spell Moses right, E-S, okay? If you can spell Moses, and I can spell Moses, I can't probably spell supraventricular tachycardia, but I can spell Moses, right? Moses, and it goes like this. The M stands for mass exit. What book? Exodus, right? In fact, exodus, X, out, odus, way. The way out. Mass exit, all right? What happened at Sinai? That's the O. And I have to use a strange word that we don't use as much, but it starts with O. Ordinances given. Okay? The first giving of the law, Exodus 20. The Ten Commandments, but there's way more than Ten Commandments. There's 613 commandments in the Old Testament. Ten Commandments is a summary sheet. Okay? And then there's an S. I have some actions for some of these mass exits, but that can be confusing. Ordinances given. And then I do this one. This is cool. I'm really proud of this one. It's a pride thing, but watch this. It's an S and what? Spies sent, right? Spies sent, right? Abigail, you're not impressed, are you, at all? I could tell. You're just like, still not impressed. Okay. And then there's an E, and they rebelled against God. They said, we won't go in because of our children. It's always the children. And then God says, okay, if you're not going to go in, then you won't go in for 40 years. So then there's extended wandering in the book of Numbers, right? And then the last S is what? Second law. Second law, which is Deuteronomy. That's what Deuteronomy means. Deuter, two, duet, which is just two people singing. And onimos is law, the second law. That's what Deuteronomy stands for even. So Moses, mass exit, ordinances given, spies, come on Ted, I can see you now, but spies sent, E is extended wandering, and S is the second law. That one's pretty easy too. By the way, that takes you all the way to the end of Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. How long did Moses live? 120 years. So that gives you the time frame of that. We don't mention Leviticus. That happens about a month at Mount Sinai, and it's part of the giving of the ordinances, right? So four events, creation, fall, flood, Babel. Four people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Then what? Moses. Mass exit, ordinances given, spies sent, extended wanderings, and then second law. Easy peasy. We're all the way through the first five books of the Bible, and it actually gets easier after the next two. Right? And the next two are not hard. So, four events, four people. Moses. Who comes after Moses? And I'm trying to connect these on purpose. Who took over after Moses? This is not hard. Joshua, right? So guess what the next point is? Joshua. Boy, that was hard. What? Isn't this hard? This is so hard because, yeah, I know this already, right? Joshua. Joshua has how many chapters? You don't have to know this, but we just studied it. 24? You remember 24 because Joshua said in chapter 24, choose you this day whom you will serve in chapter 24. So there's at least 24 chapters. But there are 24 chapters, right? And we just studied Joshua in detail, right? I have four points that start with D. D. The letter D, okay? And again, you'll get all these. I'm handing them out. You got them all. But the first one, Joshua chapter 1, is Moses, my servant, is dead. That's what God says to Joshua. And they've been mourning for 30 days. And he basically says this, now get up and go do what you need to do. You've mourned, now get up. And he charges him to draw courage or strength. So I call this draw strength, right? I know this is probably the worst case scenario of an example, but I'm showing my muscle if I had one, okay? Draw strength. Ted, can you see my muscle? There, I puffed it up with my shirt. Okay, draw strength. That's chapter one. Then defeat. They went in and defeated or conquered the land. Defeat the enemy, divide the land, and then chapter 24 is decide for the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. That's the book of Joshua in a nutshell. All right? So let's do this again, okay? Draw strength. Moses, my servant, is dead. You need to be in the Word of God every day. Meditate day and night, and you'll draw courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you wherever you go if you do this. All right? Draw strength. Defeat the enemy. Divide the land, and then decide whom you will serve. Okay? So Joshua is draw strength, defeat, divide, decide. You with me? Is that too fast? It's not too fast, is it? Joshua, what is it? Draw strength, defeat, divide, decide. Right? How long did Joshua last? 15 to 40 years. We're not sure. Probably closer to 15 to 25 years, something like that. And Joshua's already old, right? He was given this job when he was 120-ish, or I don't know. He was old. He was younger than Moses, so probably 100, I don't know, something like that. He and Caleb were the only two that went in to the promised land. So let's do all four so far, okay? Four events, right? Creation, fall, flood, Babel. Four people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, right? Again, very easy. Those two make up the book of Genesis. Then you have Moses. M is for mass exit. O is for ordinances given. S is for spies sent. E is for extended wanderings. And then the second S is for the second law, right? And then you have Joshua, which if you want General Joshua, I don't know what you like as far as a symbol, but General Joshua is a good symbol, some kind of, you know, holding my spear or something. But General Joshua, and then you do the four D's, right? Draw strength, defeat, divide, decide. Draw strength from God, defeat the enemy, divide the land, and decide whom you will serve. Right, but if you remember those four, you could probably add on the extra details, right? Joshua, draw strength, defeat, divide, decide. Hard so far? It's actually easy, isn't it? It really is. And it has to be easy because I can't remember if it's not easy. I know you don't believe me, but it is true, whatever your name is, right? Okay. Joshua. So we have four events, four people. Four events, four people. Moses, Joshua. What comes after Joshua? Judges. We're in Judges. We're almost done with Judges. Judges is, again, a very sad book. We're going to keep on with the sadness today in Sunday school. But Judges has different military deliverers primarily. There's how many of them in the book of Judges? Do you remember? There's 12. Now there's more judges outside of the book of Judges in the book of 1 Samuel, but there's 12. There's 6 major ones, 6 minor ones. Most of them have military significance. Some of them have one verse. Some of them have 2 or 3 verses. The minor ones only have a few verses. But they are military deliverers, and they kind of keep Israel in some form of semblance of Israel, even though they are horrifically sinful at times. What happens is they fall into sin, right? They sin willfully against God. They worship other gods and all that goes with that. Intermarrying, sacrificing the false gods, and their morality and their habits and all that become like those around them, but their sin. And then God turns them over. God turns them over to enemies. God takes the initiative and turns them over to enemies. And oftentimes it's 20, 40, or even 80 years that they're under the oppression of enemies. Might be the Midianites, it might be the Philistines, it might be other enemies. There's all kinds of different ones. And God lets them suffer for years and years, being oppressed. Who knows what all went on? Meanwhile, Israel keeps doing the same thing. But they'll cry out to the Lord sometimes. But God, to keep in his plan, to keep the nation of Israel as an entity, keeps Israel alive in the midst of all of their sin and suffering by sending a rescuer. What we call a savior. So it goes from sin. They go through at least 7 cycles this way. They fall into sin. They remain in sin, really, throughout. They go. God turns them over to the enemy, slavery of some kind, and then God eventually sends a rescuer. It may be a horrible rescuer, but it does what God needs to happen to keep Israel, Israel. Right? We mentioned Samson was terrible. Don't be like Samson. But God used Samson in spite of Samson to keep Israel, Israel. So sin, slavery, savior. So there's 3 S's. Sin, slavery, savior. We've used those over and over in the Judges lessons. So I do this. Judges, I suppose like this, Judges. But they're more almost more like Joshua than they are a judge, right? They're more of a military leader. But Judges, and there's a a cycle. So I do this, a circle. Sin, slavery, Savior. Sin, slavery, Savior. How many times? Seven times. So the faster you say that, the harder it is to say that. So I just say sin, slavery, Savior seven times. Because the faster you say it, you'll just get, it's a tongue twister kind of thing. So sin, slavery, Savior seven times. And the last major judge and the first major prophet is the last S. Who is it? Samuel. So sin, slavery, Savior seven times. And the last major judge and the first major prophet is Samuel. So it's sin, slavery, Savior seven times, and then Samuel. Got it? And that's not hard to remember, but it's beyond the book of Judges, but it's not the beyond the time of the judges. And that's what we're talking about, the chronology here, okay? So, how many do we have here? Four events: creation, fall, flood, Babel, four people. Help me out. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Then we have Moses. M is for mass exit. O is for ordinances given. S is for, the E is for extended warnings. And the second S is for the second law. So you have four events, four people. Moses. Then you have Joshua. Right? You're very weak out there. Let's try it again. I want you to talk to me, okay? Because you learn by repetition. Or I can have you come up and do this if you would prefer. Okay? What's this? Joshua. Okay? And then we have Judges, and we have three S's, right, that repeat how many times? So it's sin, slavery, Savior. Sin, slavery, Savior. And the Savior, again, is a military rescuer. Right? Sin, slavery, Savior. Sin, slavery, Savior. The last, I just call it the last judge, the first prophet, but it's the last main judge and the first major prophet, okay, is Samuel. Okay. So we have, what, five done so far in the Old Testament? The next one is, I think, pretty easy too. But Samuel was used by God to anoint the first. So that's how you remember the next point. Samuel was used by God to anoint the first king. So the next point is kings, plural. Okay, because it's more than one, but that's, he anointed the first one. All right, so it's kings. All right? And this is pretty easy too. You know this. You know the first three easily, piece of cake-ish. I just have to tell you, like, I know these already. I don't have to memorize them. I already have them memorized. I just now know where to hang them. But the kings, the first king, Saul, the second king, David, the third king, and the fourth king, Rehoboam was the fourth king, but you don't have to remember Rehoboam. But notice, S, Saul, D, David, S, Solomon, D, we call it divided kingdom, because Rehoboam, Solomon's son, divided the kingdom. Saul reigned for roughly 40 years. This is really hard. David ruled for roughly 40 years, and Solomon ruled for roughly. Yeah, isn't that hard? It's so hard to remember the same thing for everybody. It's like everyone having the same birthday, kind of, but it's not. But so Saul, David, Solomon, 120 years time frame. By the way, that's less than half the time in the book of Judges, 335 years roughly in the book of Judges so far. Okay, the time of the kings, when you think about it, is very short compared to the rest of history. Okay, Saul was a king with no heart. This would be a walk through the Bible thing, by the way. King with no heart. David is a king with a whole heart. And Solomon is a king with a half heart. Remember, Solomon went and pursued all the gods, the false gods, with his wives. His wives drew his heart away, the Bible says. So Saul, David, Solomon. You know that. And then Solomon's son divided the kingdom. So you have two kingdoms. You have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had how many tribes? 10, which leaves 12 minus 10. What would the southern kingdom be? 2, right? The northern kingdom is known by what? Israel or the largest tribe? Ephraim. So sometimes you see it as referenced as Ephraim and Judah. It's talking about the northern tribes and the southern tribes, or Israel and Judah. If Israel and Judah are used together, it's talking about the 10 northern tribes as Israel and the southern tribes are Judah. But anyway, you don't have to really remember all of that in detail. But you have kings, and kings are easy. It's, I know the kings, right? You know the kings. Saul, David, Solomon, and then what? Divided kingdom. This is easy. You know this, right? By the way, give you an idea of time frames. We think the world started around 4,000 BC. Abraham was roughly 2,000 BC, 2,100 BC, but around 2,000, it makes it easy to remember. David was around 1,000 BC. I mean, there's not a lot of time, especially when you get to Abraham. It's only 1,000 years to David, and that's already factoring in one of the kings. What happens to the divided or the kingdoms, the kings? There's a divided kingdom. What happens to the divided kingdoms? So the next point is captivity, right? I do this. They're tied up and hauled away. A lot of them were taken away, not all of them. But they were hauled off into captivity. How many kingdoms were there? So how many captivities were there? Well, that's pretty easy. We're generalizing because then southern kingdom was carried off in multiple waves. But two captivities, two captors. So the northern kingdom, that's point number one of two points of the captivity. There's two kingdoms, so there's two captivities. The northern kingdom is carried off into captivity by Assyria, by the Assyrians in 722 BC. Susanna, if you haven't already had to learn that date, you will. Very few dates you have to remember, that's one of them. When was the northern kingdom carried off into captivity? 722 BC. By whom? Assyria. Okay? That's the 10 northern tribes. They carried some off, brought other people in. Have you ever heard of Samaria? Samaria was what they brought people in and had them intermarry so that they tried to diffuse and homogenize the culture so that no one has an identity when they would conquer lands. The southern kingdom was carried off. Their primary carrying off, the tribe of, or the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, was carried off in 586 BC by, you probably know this one more, Babylon, right? Nebuchadnezzar. Who was carried off then? Daniel. Right? Daniel was carried off, we think, in 605 BC. There was a small group of the cream of the crop that they took, and then they took the big wave in 586 BC. Lots there you could say about it, but Daniel was praying that God would start counting his 70 years when Daniel was taken rather than the second wave, because he said he would be in captivity for 70 years. Well, when does that start? Okay, so I dropped this. I must be getting animated. So you have captivity. How many captivities? Why? There's two kingdoms. Northern kingdom carried off into captivity when? Anyone besides Sean now? 722 BC by whom? Assyria. And you're recording your bad answers. That's even worse. And the southern kingdom was carried off when? 586 BC. That's the one I want you to remember. 586 BC by whom? Babylon, right? I've been reading some of that Jeremiah. What a sad book, too. That's another sad book. They hated him. They tried to kill him and all of that. And he just said, I'm just telling you what God said to tell you. And they did try to kill the messenger. So you have four events, four people, Moses, Joshua, Judges, Kings, captivity. There's two kingdoms of the divided kingdom. There's two captivities, northern and southern. And then the Bible records the last point of the Old Testament is return. And it only records the official return of the southern kingdom. That doesn't mean there's no northern kingdom. Remember, they took some away and brought some back. But there's people all over the world that are part of Judaism, that are part of Israel, okay? But the last point is return. They return, but there's three returns. And I'm going to have to speed up, I know, because my time is going. It spells the word Zen, because it does, right? The people that are related to the returns are Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. When you get to Nehemiah, you're in the last historical book of the Old Testament. Did you know that? The Old Testament really ends with the book of Nehemiah. Guess what? All of the rest of the books, except maybe Malachi, fit in somewhere there. All the prophets fit in someplace else before the book. We think Malachi was probably written shortly after the time of Nehemiah or at the time of Nehemiah. Right? The chronological Bible. But the return, there's three returns. Zerubbabel, by the way, he was a descendant of David. And if I'm not mistaken, both Joseph and Mary are descendants of Zerubbabel. In different ways, they cross different paths down there. Zerubbabel returns under the edict of Cyrus the king. He takes 50,000 people with him. I think it's 536 BC, but I don't have to remember that. 50,000 people. They bring all of the furniture and stuff back from the temple that was taken under the edict of Cyrus, who we think Daniel probably wrote that edict or helped Cyrus, because he continued to the second year of Cyrus the king. So that's why remembering that Daniel was taken away is good. But that's how short this history is. Ezra returned like 80 years later. By the way, Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. It took him forever because the people were so focused on building their own houses and doing their own things that they wouldn't get God's work done. So you have two prophets by the name of Zechariah and Haggai that said, get busy. I mean, they said more than that, but okay. So that was during Zerubbabel's time. And then Ezra came and he rebuilt the people about 80 years later with only 2,000 people. Zerubbabel had a sponsorship of the king. Ezra went alone without any kind of protection at all. He got there and everyone was already doing the stuff that they got hauled off the captivity for. And he sat down and just tore his clothes. Okay. Then the last one is Nehemiah. Nehemiah went by himself with the blessing of the king that he was the king's cupbearer, right? He served there. But Nehemiah went and rebuilt the what? The walls. Because they had no protection. They needed protection from outsiders. So return is three parts. You have Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. It spells Zen. I'm not trying to get Far Eastern religion, middle, you know. That just helps me remember. Right? Zerubbabel, 50,000. But if you remember, Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. Ezra rebuilt the people. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. And he did it faster than they rebuilt the temple, amazingly. I think it was like 50 days and they had the entire walls built. Nehemiah was an incredible leader. So, four events, four people, Moses, Joshua, Judges, Kings, captivity, return. How many returns? Three. Okay. Which kingdom returned? So that doesn't mean they all returned either and all that. Some stayed in Babylon or whatever. They didn't all come. By the way, in between Zerubbabel and Ezra is the story of a woman named Esther. Right here is probably appropriate, but we have 8 points and 4 points, but this is the 400 silent years. It's not really a point. It's the absence of a point. But there's 400 silent years. But David, the king, around 1000 B.C., Isaiah was prophesying in the 700 B.C. They were carried off 722 B.C. That's how short the kingdom period was. It wasn't even as long, at least for the northern kingdom, as the time of the judges. You think it's a long time. It's a very short amount of time, historically speaking. Well, let's just cover these real quick, okay? Because we haven't covered these anyway, right? From timeline to truth or whatever. This one is Savior. This is Luke in a nutshell. I'm going to give you, I think, 6 points because I added one. When you look at all the Gospels and even the book of Luke, it starts out with his birth. And then it jumps to his ministry. There's only one event when Jesus was 12 in the temple. Otherwise, it doesn't talk about anything other than he grew in wisdom and stature and in grace with, in favor before God and men. You don't get anything until Jesus is in obscurity till he begins his ministry after John begins his ministry, right? So you have his birth, then you have his ministry, which is his teaching and his miracles both, and then you have his death, that includes his being, Judas betraying him and all that. His death, what comes after his death? His resurrection. We spent most of our time in 2019, just on the last two chapters of Luke here. His death, his resurrection, and then I added his commission. Even though it doesn't take a lot of time, obviously that's a key idea. So his birth, ministry, death, resurrection, commission, the Great Commission, go make disciples, right? And we looked at 6 different places, one Wednesday night of where that Great Commission was. And the last one that we just said last week, he went into heaven, right? What do we call that? The ascension. That's Jesus' entire life in 6 points. His birth, ministry, death, resurrection, commission, and ascension. And the last part, all of them, most of the points except the first one took place in just 3 years. And the last 4 points took place in literally weeks. Okay? The church. I won't spend much time on it. We're going to go through Acts. But the church begins. It's the word church. The church begins at where? Pentecost. Jesus said, and we said this last week, go and wait in Jerusalem until you're endued or clothed with power from on high. And then it relates the idea that that's the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. That's how important the Holy Spirit is. We talked about that last week again. Immediately, you have Pentecost, and you want to say power maybe, Pentecost is hard, but power or Pentecost. And then you have persecution. I think one of the saddest stories in the Bible is James. He spends 3 years with Jesus, and then he gets his head cut off. I mean, you graduate seminary, and then the day after you graduate seminary, someone kills you. It's like that seems to be a waste. But God used him for however. That was the brother of John, right? James and John, the sons of thunder. He was killed. Right, so persecution starts, and by the way, it's never really ended. There's been persecution ever since, so that's kind of an ongoing thing. And then the book of Acts can be broke up into 2 parts, the church, but primarily the book of Acts. But all of the epistles fit into the book of Acts, or at least in the church age after the book of Acts. All right, so you have Peter to the Jews. That doesn't mean they couldn't minister to other people. But that was his primary focus. Peter to the Jews. He also was used to open the door to the Gentiles, to Cornelius. But Peter to the Jews. Paul to the Gentiles. And then I just put at the bottom present day. Because we're still in the church age. That's where we're at right now from a time standpoint. You look at your calendar and we're in the church age. So we're present day. That's where we're at. All of the epistles either fit in that time in the book of Acts or shortly thereafter, but it's all in the church age. I'll give you end times. There's three events. I don't call them events, but you have an event and then a judgment. So three events. So you have the rapture, and you have the Bema Seat, or the judgment seat of Christ, for church age believers who are rewarded for what they do. You have the tribulation, and then there's a judgment. There's Armageddon, which is a battle, but then there's a judgment of the sheep and the goats, that literally all of the unbelievers are killed by Jesus at the beginning of the millennium. Okay? And then you have the millennium. So you have the rapture, the tribulation, and the millennium. The millennium you have, how long is the millennium? How long is 1,000 years? Okay, just checking. The millennium means 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a millennium. We believe it's a literal 1,000 years. The millennium is 1,000 years. The Bible says that Jesus puts Satan in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, then lets him out for a short while at the end. And believe it or not, even after all the perfect leadership of Jesus, the perfect environment, because the curse has been removed and restored, Satan is still able to gather from all the people descended from those living during that time that are yet unsaved now, even though they're in a perfect environment, to rebel against the Son of God. Jesus destroys them just in a moment, cast the Satan into the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, which was created specifically for Satan and his angels. And then there's a great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20 of all the unsaved, the dead, the spiritually dead, small and great. They stand before God and they're judged by their works, and they're cast into the lake of fire, which is called, by the way, the second death. So that's end times. There's just three basic things that you remember about the end times. And the last one is probably the easiest, but eternity. And eternity is only 2 points. And you can summarize all of history. You can categorize all the people of all of history in just 2 categories. And that determines where they'll spend eternity. You're either an unbeliever, you've rejected what God has declared, and you will spend eternity away from God in the lake of fire. Or you are a believer in what God has declared, and listen to this, you will spend eternity forever with God. And the bottom line is, it's your choice. I'm going to go over the 12 one more time, and I'm going to add in the 400 silent years just because it's fun. But I'm just going to go over, well, I'll do all the points, even though we're running a little late, but I'll do all the sub-points too. But it doesn't take long at all. And you can review these anytime, and you'll have the sheets. There's a little bit more detail in the sheets, but it's a good way to remember the scriptures. It gives you an outline to remember the scriptures, and when you're reading, you know where it fits in, okay? All right, here goes. Let's see how many steps I have, Daniel. I have 23 already. I'm not even be close. So 4 events. Creation, fall, flood, Babel. Let's start over, and you help me, shall we? As much as you can. I know the end ones will be a little more difficult because we covered them briefly, but you should be able to be up here doing this. For the early ones, right? Okay. All right. 4 events. Can we get loud? Right? Okay. 4 events. Creation, fall, flood, Babel. 4 people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Then we have Moses. M is mass exit. O is ordinances given. S is spies sent. E is extended wanderings. The second S is the second law. The person who took over from Moses is Joshua. Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Draw strength, defeat, divide, decide. After the time of Joshua is the time of Judges. We have cycles, seven of them. Sin, slavery, Savior. Sin, slavery, Savior. Seven times. And the last major judge, the first prophet, is Samuel, who ordained the first kings. The first king was Saul, then Solomon, then the divided kingdom. The divided kingdoms were both carried off into captivity. The northern kingdom was carried off by, in 722 BC, the southern kingdom was Judah, right? And it was carried off by Babylon in 586 BC. By God's grace, the southern kingdoms were brought back from Babylon, at least some of the people, in three different, what? Returns, right? Return. I guess we could do the waves, too. The wave. And that spells what? Three people. Zen, right? Zerubbabel rebuilt the... Ezra rebuilt the... And Nehemiah rebuilt the... And then this is... Oh, you can't say anything. You don't talk. Because God didn't talk. I take four fingers, put four fingers over my mouth, and that represents what? Four fingers over my mouth, or 400 silent years, okay? That was a new one. But that's not a point, because it's the absence of God speaking, right? Then you have Savior, his birth, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his commission, and then his ascension. I don't have actions for the New Testament yet, so maybe someday. Then it's the Savior. He said, go wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. And then you become the what? Church, right? You have Pentecost or power. Then you have immediately afterward, you have what? Persecution. They're being chased. That's the idea of persecution. But they're also being beaten up and killed. And then Peter goes to the Jews, and Paul goes to the... And that brings us up to the present day. Then the end times, you have three major events. You have the rapture that ends with the judgment seat of Christ, right? You know, there's the event, and then there's a judgment. Then you have the tribulation, and ends in Armageddon, and then the sheep's and goats judgment. And then you have the millennium. How long is the millennium? 1,000 years. And it ends with the destruction of the rebellion led by Satan, and then ultimately what? The great white throne judgment. And then in eternity, you're either in one of two categories. You're either an unbeliever that spends eternity forever away from God in the lake of fire, or you're a believer in what God has revealed, and you spend forever with God. Okay? So there's your 12-point overview. Let's stand, if you would, and pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us to be students of your Word and learn the Word of God. Lord, I know it's a lot to learn. I know 1,189 chapters is a lot to absorb, and we forget so much. And Lord, there's so many details, and we don't want to get lost in the details, but we want to understand where they fit in and who you're talking to and who they're for and all of that. And I pray that you would help us to be able to do so, even if it's using this tool. We pray that you would just bless our fellowship now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.